hard it was for me to get to the union to that 1 o'clock class.
Pretty Wednesday.
That's right. That's right. So Ms. Darby was one that called me out. And after I was consistently late, and she said, look, you never going to make it to where you want to be because you too trifling. Mm-hmm. She said, you want to be a Kappa pretty boy. You don't want to be the achievement model of Kappa. And so Ms. Darby was one that invested in me and cared enough to call me out. And that only happens at Southern.
That's the beauty of it, because I had the same thing with professors who see the potential in you.
That's right.
But you're so distracted, and, you know, it's so much going on in the world around you that you're often looking at the now and not the future. You're only thinking about what's happening now, and they're preparing you for the future, getting your mind right, preparing to let you know that if you tap into that potential, the world is yours. And for you, the world has been yours in terms of a political career and just a career in general. Talk about a little backstory to what you've done all the way up until this point.
Yeah, right after graduating law school at Southern, I graduated right after Hurricane Katrina. So I was blessed to serve in Governor Blanco's office, where I worked on housing and community development policy. And then went on to work in the legislature, work for the Department of Revenue, and talking about my Southern story. I've never applied for a job. People from Southern had opportunities, and they picked up the phone and called me. Mm-hmm. And that, when people talk about the family atmosphere from Southern, it's on full display. Like, my career is, I'm the poster child for it, right? And then I had this idea about running for office. So I quit my job at the Department of Revenue, was elected to the legislature where I served for 10 years, and then I resigned and was appointed by President Biden to serve the SBA. So mm-hmm. I worked in the Small Business Administration.
And you traveled up to my home. You've been to Pine Bluff.
That's right. I've been to Pine Bluff. Yeah, I remember. That's right. That's right. I was with the mayor there. Yeah.
Place need a lot of work, don't it?
Yeah, I mean, I see a lot of potential there.
Yeah.
And it's a story that's too often told around communities that house HBCUs, mm-hmm. right? And one of the things that I learned at the SBA, we have a lot of resources, but way too often, a lot of our small businesses are not prepared to take advantage of it.
Mm.
So we got to take a step back and provide that technical, that base assistance, right? You know, we, in other communities, entrepreneurship is taught. That family business, you learn it. And for us, we hustlers,
yeah,
right? And nobody gonna out-hustle folks in our community. But we have to define that hustle and have some of the infrastructure in place to turn that hustle into a viable business, right? And that's, when we talk about vision, those are some things that I want to bring to the mayor's office, because as I travel, even in Pine Bluff, the coalition between the Small Business Development Center there in the city, they were trying. And we have to do that more to provide that ecosystem. And Southern is just such a good platform for me to be able to do that, because, you know, we aren't just preparing young people for jobs anymore. We're preparing young people for entrepreneurship. When I graduated and went to Southern, they were like, hey, go do your best so you go get a job and work for somebody.
That's it.
Now, especially in our community, young people are going to college and they're using that information to start their own business.
Mm-hmm.
So government, you saw it in Atlanta, you saw it in D.C., where government, especially local government, can be a huge conduit for entrepreneurs to go from a small to a mid-size to an emerging business.
Yeah, and that is huge, especially when I look at my generation, my age group, because I'm 35, and within that group right there, when I talk to friends, and guess what? I'm a young entrepreneur.
Yeah.
And so one of the issues I've always saw was when it was time to get knowledge, information, and how to maneuver this. And when I reach out a lot of times to the older generation who have had what they say skin in the game,
yeah,
is you run into the gatekeeping, right? You run into those issues where doors close, or you have to do these certain things in order to get through that door. And for me, I don't play those games. So I kind of I walk by the beat of my own drum.
Right.
So I kind of pull back, and I have to learn sometime the hard way on how things go. But it's a process.
Yeah.
And with anything, there's a process. So let's talk about this process right now of what your vision is for the city of Baton Rouge. What do you see Baton Rouge to be?
Yeah, I'll tell you that, you know, just to take a step back, that wait your turn thing, that's not just for entrepreneurs,
listen,
right? You know, even now, serving in the legislature, attorney, been appointed by the President of the United States, and there's still people saying, Ted, you need to wait your turn.
Yeah.
But I never subscribed in it as well. And I
believe. My man.
This is KAYT-FM. 81 Gina Alexandria. 92.5 Greenwood Shreveport. K223BI. 98.9 Monroe, West Monroe. K255BT. 100.1 Lake Charles. K261EB. And KQJO-FM. 99.3 St. Joseph, Louisiana. Natchez, Mississippi. And online at www.kaytfm.com.
Number one issue across this parish is safety, right? I don't feel it in my neighborhood, but way too often, too many people here don't feel safe, right? Mm-hmm. Young people can't go to the mall without an escort. Like, my first job was at Old Navy. A 16-year-old cannot get dropped off at the mall today without a parent being mm-hmm. there. That's sad, right? Young people can't go to pool parties. We have 11 different law enforcement agencies that don't talk to one another. They don't share information. They don't share technology. They don't have joint task force to the level that I want to see. There are some small pockets. Once I'm elected, one of the first things that we're going to do is convene a public safety summit, bring all of these people at the table, and then sign a multi-agency agreement where we're going to go after violent crime. We have to. Violent crime, drug crime, and the gang culture that we have here mm-hmm. in Baton Rouge. Right? Look, I've been a criminal defense lawyer. I've worked on a lot of reform efforts, and I believe that we can be both tough and aggressive on those folks that are harming our communities, but we also got to be smart.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to employ some justice-related initiatives, like there's a clean slate program that I worked on in the legislature. It is an automatic expungement program for folks that were convicted of nonviolent, but they have restrictions on employment. In the state of Louisiana, we have over 300 restrictions on employment, housing, places you can't even go. And an expungement process is long, it's complicated, and it's expensive. So it's something that I worked on in the legislature that I've been working with the DA. And this is a good thing because our DA is actually supportive of it. So when you have DAs that are supportive of these programs, you can't run away from them. You got to run from them. And that's a job creation program, right? In Baton Rouge, we can't ignore the things that drive crime, especially when you look at Southern. You look at Scenic Highway, right? You look at Plank, the development there, blighted communities, empty storefronts, all of those things invite crime. And we have not done a good enough job of aggressively going after it. The city owns a lot of property. Very early in my administration, I intend to inventory their property to see, all right, what properties have clear title. Those properties, we're going to make sure that if it's nonprofits, if it's churches, if it's developers, as your mayor, I'm going to take those properties and I'm going to spend a lot of time at the state capitol and in D.C., pulling down federal dollars because other communities are doing it to a much higher level of us to make sure we have those dollars to put in those communities.
Let me ask you this right here while you're on that, since you brought up Scenic and Southern. For you, I get on here, and I have no problem once again telling people, and I know Scenic Highway is a state highway, but the area around Southern University is still Baton Rouge, whatever you want to call it, the Avenue, Scotlandville, whatever the case may be. What is the vision for you for that area? Because from the moment I first touched down in Baton Rouge in 2010 up into 2024, right, I have a vision to see that area just be thriving, North Baton Rouge. I have a vision to see, as you pulling up to Southern University and everything else, because guess what? Hundreds of thousands of people flock into that area, whether it's a game day, whether it's homecoming, the parades, and whatever else. Yep. There's no reason why we cannot improve what that area looks like on for the sake of our beloved Southern University.
I'll tell you that it's a housing vision. It's a mixed income vision. It's a a mixture of restaurants and some retail.
Mm-hmm.
We can't just talk about it. We have to find avenues for entrepreneurs like yourself. Rental assistance programs, like we do it for housing. Other communities do it for entrepreneurs, where if you are going to invest in this area, we're going to provide some stuff, just like we subsidize the big boys here, mm-hmm. right? We do a very good job in Louisiana of subsidizing major corporations. Local, Southern University is the mirror into what Baton Rouge can be when you talk about the students that come here, right? One of the big things for me, students that are educated at LSU and Southern, they walk across the stage, and that's the last time they live in Baton Rouge.
Oh, they're leaving for opportunity.
That's right.
I tell people, I moved here because I transferred to Southern. So when I came to Southern, it created an opportunity, and I didn't know where I was going to go after. But then I ended up calling Baton Rouge home. Baton Rouge has been my home for 14 years. Yeah. And people often say, well, why do you stay? Well, it was a couple things. I ended up finding, you know, I know quality of life is different from everybody, but I found a pocket of area that was perfect for the quality of life that I look for to raise my son and my daughter, for just myself and every day getting up, walking to speak to my neighbors and walking safely right. in the community. Plus the sports around here and the events, things to do, right? They give me a reason to drink. I'm just saying.
and here, way too often, we run away from it. Because I'm guilty of saying it myself. I have said, look, oh, we got to be known for more than just than football and food.
Yeah.
Not, like, as a mayor, let's build a culture around it.
And I love
right?
it. And
let's,
a lot of people,
let's build
think,
a culture around the yeah. things that we are good at.
And the
right?
people that's from here, and it's just like for me being in Pine Bluff, you can be somewhere for so long, and then I understand when you're local and you've been here, you kind of like, you know what, you want to go try and do something else. Right. I wholeheartedly respect that. It's the people that these institutions and that the city of Baton Rouge brings in thousands of students mm-hmm. from LSU, Southern, and even BRCC
right.
to this community that, just like me, ultimately called Baton Rouge home because I haven't been here so long my whole life to where I kind of feel like I want to change.
Yeah.
And I respect when people want to change, but it's the people like myself and the many others who do move here and then look at, man, this could be a place to be.
Well, you know, I get upset in my folks that I went to school with. They come here for homecoming or whatever, and they go by LSU and it's like, man, it don't look nothing like it did when we were in school.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go by Southern and say, man, it look worse in the community, mm-hmm. right? Now, on campus, we have a lot of investments going on campus. There's a Southern University master plan that an organization, CPEX, has worked on. That master plan has not been one that we have invested in. My commitment is to invest in it. Now, the challenge in North Baton Rouge, and again, I'm never going to say that I wasn't part of a problem. As the elected officials up there in that area, there's always the turf battle, right? I want it in my district. As mayor, I got to come in and say, look, we got to look at the corridor from Southern to the airport, right? It's a major corridor where we got a lot of people coming in. And those students, if we don't invest in that little small area, they're not going to stay, right? So that Southern University master plan and the plans that they have, my job is to go and find the money, the resources from philanthropic organizations. You know, there are a lot of folks that are criticizing the LSU deal. I could pick it apart myself as a lawyer. I could look at the fact that we should not have given up the River Center on a 30-year non-compete. But why not just find our own public-private partnership agreement to invest in the area around Southern University? We have to start doing it. We have alums all across the country, right, in terms of housing, in terms of some type of tech, mm-hmm. fintech, all of those folks in the College of Business, fintech, and these different types of financing. It's a huge thing that I worked on in the SBA. All those kids coming out of TTLN, we got to invest in them.
Mm-hmm.
The engineering program at Southern, DPW right now will tell me that too many young students can't pass, graduates can't pass that professional engineering exam. So for me, I'm going to do the same thing we did when we were in law school. We created a bar program when I was in law school that we started as students, and my law school class in the last 30 years has the highest bar passage rate.
Mm.
We can do the same thing with our engineering students to provide that training early while they're in school, to provide the on-ramp for job opportunities, be it through DPW, be it through the engineers that work and have contracts with the city of parish government. They tell me every day they would buy into a program like that. That's a direct investment in Southern. One of the other things that Southern has that people don't talk about, Southern is one of the only schools in the country that has an urban forestry undergrad, master's, and PhD program.
Mm-hmm.
You talked about the listeners in Alexandria. The city in Alexandria created an urban forestry position, and this person is the one that he manages or she manages all of the sub-grants. And when you talk about litter programs that's mm-hmm. needed in North Baton Rouge, you talk about green space programs that's needed in North Baton Rouge, all of those beautification efforts, they're managed by one person. And this person makes sure that there's a strategic direction. So for me, is there a strategic direction for an urban forestry footprint in East Baton Rouge Parish? The answer is no,
mm-hmm.
right? So tapping into those students at Southern, giving them the opportunity to work with local government and industry to be able to look with all of these different organizations, this will provide natural on-ramps for job opportunities. The good thing about it is the young lady that sits in D.C.,
mm-hmm.
when I apply for funding for this program, the young lady whose desk that application is going to fall on is a graduate of Southern University.
Amen.
And we have not tapped into her yet.
Let me ask you this. And this might be the tough question, right? The toughest question. I have seen where people have said you're playing both sides, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And for me, you know, in the world that we live in, it's like you have to pick a side. It's either going to be Democrat, Republican. Mm-hmm. There's no in between.
Yeah.
For you, when you look at that criticism that people give or whatever that they have to say, what is your response to the world of politics when you look at both sides for yourself?
Yeah, honestly, I'm not doing anything different than what I've always done. Mm-hmm. Right? You know, I am a black male Democrat that served in an almost two-thirds majority legislature and got police reform passed.
Mm-hmm.
When police officers say, oh, we shouldn't do this. To do that in the legislature that I served in, I've always worked with Republicans, right? The criticism that I'm receiving now from my opponent is that my bipartisanship is not benefiting her at this point,
mm-hmm.
right? I filed and passed bills for the city of Baton Rouge regarding the Baton Rouge Police Department that Republicans didn't want to see the light of day. I was not only able to communicate them, but I was able to convert them to my side. The problem now is that it's not benefiting my opponent. Now, for me, the parish of East Baton Rouge Parish, it is about even, right? And especially in terms of a voting age population. The person that's going to win this office is not going to win it with just one side, mm-hmm. right? Honestly, I work for the Biden administration. I hear a lot of criticism about the fighting that goes on. Left, right, Republican, Democrat, woke, liberal, MAGA, whatever the label is. For me, with the plans that I have for East Baton Rouge Parish, Republicans and Democrats collectively don't feel safe here, right? Republican and Democratic young people don't have opportunities. So for me, I'm gonna run to the opportunity that I have to really like build bridges, right? And it's not new to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's just new because now a light is being shined on it, right? And I have, you know, received donations from a lot of people, Democrat and Republican. And I'll tell you, and I don't know about other people, but for Ted, when people donate to me and my campaign, they're endorsing my vision. I'm not endorsing their vision, mm-hmm. right? They're investing in me. I'm not investing in their
policy. So you're saying you're not being bought?
Yeah, look, man.
Is that what you're saying?
The sad thing is the fact that I have to say that with my work in the black community in East Baton Rouge Parish is, if it wasn't so sad, it would be funny.
Yeah.
But there's no, even for you Democrats mm-hmm. that have endorsed, you get the same commitment.
Mm-hmm.
When you call me, I'm going to pick up the phone. If you have an idea that's best for the parish, we're going to run through it together.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't control me.
Yeah.
No one, like when I resigned from the legislature, John Bell, who I got criticized for being so close to Governor Edwards, in his statement, he said, Ted has been a friend, but he challenged me at times.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my friend. That's my boy. Mm-hmm. Right? So if I'm not going to let the governor, who I stood with him every single day of his first campaign, when a lot of people were running away from him, when they said he couldn't win, I was with him,
mm-hmm.
and he couldn't control me. He couldn't ask me to vote for everything that he wanted me to vote for. The only person that controlled me in this world is Harper. If Harper asked me for something, as much as I don't want her to eat cake, I'm probably going to give her cake at 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
Right? Outside of that, the rest of y'all gotta get in line, yeah. right? But, you know, seriously, I get the questions, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
man, we've never seen this level of support from Republicans for a young black dude,
mm-hmm.
right?
And it raises questions.
I get it. I get it. And I will tell the people that know me, you know me.
Yeah.
Right? I've been 10 toes before it was a saying, right?
Mm-hmm.
And for those people that don't, look at some of the things that I've accomplished. I have not been able to do that with only black support,
mm-hmm.
only Democratic support in a legislature as conservative as Louisiana. And then there's another part of the conversation that people are having. The numbers in this parish suggest that the mayor is going to be a Democrat, period,
mm-hmm.
right? And there are some folks that I have been able to appeal to say, look, the numbers don't suggest that you all have a very good shot of winning. Do you like the last 8 years under the current administration? If you do, you could either run a Republican who's ultimately going to lose or you could support the incumbent. If you see different, like I do, if you have a certain level of expectation, you should make the safe investment and be with me because I'm the only person, we polled a whole bunch of people, Republicans and Democrats alike. I'm the only person that could beat the current incumbent based on the polling, period, right? And there are some folks that I work with in the legislature and in the business community that have made that investment because of the plans when I talk about reforming DPW, the permitting process for those engineers that work. It's atrocious, mm-hmm. right? when I look at a real plan for Blight and I talk about how we can take these properties off of the city parish rolls, and I'm going to aggressively go in and pull the dollars down in all of these different plans, Baton Rouge has been playing to death. The problem is we got a lot of plans. We don't have the leadership to actually move on them. And I'm committed to moving on those things that a lot of these business folks have been waiting on movement for the last 8 years.
Let me ask you this before we get ready to close things out. And this is the voice of Ted James, if you guys are just tuning in. I always got to bring up the St. George thing.
Yeah,
what is your not necessarily your vision. How do you see that situation playing out? And for you, what is that situation?
Yeah, I'll tell you. Let me address this. I was against it. I'm still against it, right?
Uh-huh.
But the court spoke. And now the person who is the mayor president has to leave, right? There are a lot of conversations about Ted has changed his mind. Show me the text message. Show me the email. Show me the statement where I changed my mind. No, I'm just better prepared to work, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm a lawyer and I'm a mediator, right? That's the process that's taking place now, right? What services do the new leadership in St. George, what services do they want to handle on their own? From street sweeping, right, to cutting the grass, to permitting, to ABC, all these different functions that the city parish, now we have to go in. And my problem is right now we sitting back on our heels waiting on them to tell us, the leadership in St. George, because they've been working for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
We've been sitting on our tail, right? And for me, my criticism is you making this conversation about St. George, about Ted, like we lost the fight. Now, don't pick one with me because I was on your side.
Mm-hmm.
But that is the sexy thing to say, oh, Ted is changed. No. Ted wants us to have a plan as a citizen. Mm-hmm. Forget me as a candidate. We don't have a plan because I live in Baton Rouge, right? But my ex-wife and my daughter 50% of the time live in St. George.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't ignore them, right? And when I announced, I said I want to be the same for Baton Rouge, Baker, Akron, Central. Now we got St. George. So my plan is to protect that $50 million that we know we're going to lose. Baton Rouge, the city parish, is going to lose $50 million at some point when we have to transfer the tax revenues to the city of St. George.
Mm-hmm.
What does that look like for us, right?
That's huge.
You know, there's a story on the news yesterday about a neighborhood in North Baton Rouge that were complaining. They've been calling the mayor's office and the city to do something simple like pick up the trash and cut the grass.
Mm-hmm.
If we can't do that now, how are we going to do it when we got to give these folks $50 million? So for me, it's looking at the budget that we have. One of the things that we did a lot of in the state, there were departments that would fund vacant positions, mm-hmm, because they want to have the money, right? But you never find people to fill those vacant positions. But you need that buffer. You need that cash because the unforeseen may happen.
Mm-hmm.
In the city parish government, we got to look at those opportunities, right? If there are different departments that have been funding vacancies, we got to move those dollars to something else,
yeah,
right? If BRPD and the constable's office, we may need to find some things that they can, when I talk about merging functions and effort, we might need to find some cost savings there. When you look at other things like revenues, right? You can't just look at a budget and try to cut it. How are we going to grow it? I was in downtown last night, 8:30 on a Friday night. Nobody. Nothing, mm-hmm, right? A city that has two major universities on the river, we have to bring some type of excitement from an arts and entertainment district to downtown. That brings in sales tax revenue, right? We have to look at our downtown, the fact that our downtown shuts down at midnight. Right. A city of our size, our downtown shouldn't shut down at midnight.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we got to make sure BRPD is there and we're safe, but we got to create those economic opportunities. The plan that I have for small businesses, especially those that are willing to invest in North Baton Rouge, when they hire people, they spend more, they buy more. That helps us to grow the pie so that the hit from St. George won't be as hard. It's going to sting.
Yeah.
Right. It's going to sting. And the unfortunate thing is the folks that live there, there's no way that they can do the things. I've been saying this from day one. The things that they want, there's no way that they're going to be able to afford it with the resources that they have. So my plan is to try to alleviate going to the voters and asking for new taxes.
Mm-hmm.
My plan is to alleviate cutting services to where we are really harming the community. And we know in Baton Rouge, right, we have the greatest needs.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I think It's sad to say that the native son is going to ignore the community, mm-hmm, that raised me. And it's just not true, right? But I am prepared to sit at the table with my own plan, mm-hmm. and not just wait for the folks mm-hmm. in the leadership in St. George to say, hey, this is what we're going to do. Then we have the retirement piece. So the last time that, and this is, it may have changed, the last report that I have seen was a CPA report from 2018. The mayor's office may have a new one. The last one that I've seen. And it talked about the unfunded liability for retirement. It's $100 million that the city of St. George will owe East Baton Rouge Parish. Mm-hmm. What is the plan? Are we going to give them 30 years to repay it? Are we going to give them 15 years? Are we going to give them 7 or 5? For me, I'm going to be pushing for the 5 to 7 year plan to make sure we have that yearly allocation of resources, again, to make sure that the blow is not as severe, but it's going to be a blow.
Million.
And the truth of the matter is we have not heard an iota of this from the current administration. The only thing you hear is, oh, Ted has changed his mind. No, I haven't changed my mind. I'm just not one of them people that lose and want to cry and take my ball and go home.
Yeah.
We still got to play ball.
Yeah, don't be that dude.
I can't.
Don't be
can't,
that dude.
Can't be that dude.
I done ran into them dudes yeah. before in life, you know. Ted, before we get ready to let you go, man, I'm up against the break. But before we get ready to let you go, what is your message to anybody that's out there listening right now, final message for them?
You know, I'll tell you that Baton Rouge, we've had the same leadership for the past 8 years. If in 8 years, in my opinion, is long enough to know if something is going well or not. In my opinion, it's not. But I will admit to you that I have a higher level of expectation for East Baton Rouge Parish. I don't want to be the mayor that will have us to meet our potential. We have to exceed our potential in terms of economic growth. I built it all across the country, and I've watched other communities, and I flew back to Baton Rouge. And y'all, we know it's important for us to keep our young people here. It's important for us to keep us safe, but it's also important that we create the economic opportunities. Mm-hmm. And we got to start talking about those things in our community. And I'll throw a challenge back out to the community. Another part of my vision is to challenge the people that I'm asking to vote. We in the black community, we let politicians come in our community and say, this is my plan for y'all.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ready to sit back and have the community say, no, here are our demands for you. And in 4 years, if I hadn't met those demands, don't let me come back, right? And I'm not afraid of that. So, you know, I am going to be a man. I got a lot of ideas. I got vision, and I could talk about it for days. But I'm also one that recognizes that I am merely trying to be the voice of the community. So if the community has some demands, bring them to me. And we have to be very organized about that and stop talking about, oh, they did this, they did that. They going to always do what they going to do.
Mm-hmm.
What are we doing? Right? Like, what is our plan? What is our collective vision? And what are we demanding of our elected officials?
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is an important election. You're going to hear a lot of conversations from the national election. If your vote is the most important thing that you have, don't give it away for nothing.
Yeah. Ted, want to appreciate you for coming in this morning, man. Look, I've enjoyed the conversation. Hey, don't be a stranger to the show.
Yes, sir.
Be a supporter of
yes,
the show
sir.
As
yes,
well,
sir.
Man.
Yes,
come
sir.
On, man. We right here. If there's anything you need, man, you let me know. And I tell people all the time, I don't pick sides when I'm on the radio. I
That's
just
right.
give information
That's
for
right.
people to understand you have choices.
That's right.
You pick your choice.
That's
all
right.
I do is just present the option to you. Then you choose the option. You don't never know where Perry going to go with because I'm like you. I'll talk to any and everybody.
That's right. As you
I don't,
should.
I don't have a problem. My mind not set for it to be one way. I'm open-minded to hear any type of way. And I saw somebody said, man, I need a political show. So I may need to start up because
hey,
I can talk to you for a long time.
Let me tell you something, Perry. You are the type of person that needs to because the political talking heads, like, people don't trust us.
Mm-hmm.
People don't trust us, right? And it's just, at the end of the day, like, I try, got a little hashtag, trust it. But at the end of the day, because of all of the things in our community, mm-hmm. people don't trust, and I get it, right? And I understand. I'm working hard to try to change the dynamic. And normally, I would say, look, it don't matter who you vote for, just get out there and vote. This the election, I ain't saying that, right? This election, Baton
sure
Rouge, it matters who you vote for, right?
Well, Ted, thank you for coming on
thank
this
you,
morning,
brother.
Man. I have enjoyed the conversation, man. And for anybody out there, you take it for however you want, whether you agree or disagree, it's on you. You hear the information now, you formulate what you think about the information that you heard, and then you break that down and dissect that however you want. And this is all we're doing, creating the platform for you to hear the information. So, Ted, thank you for coming
you,
on
brother.
This morning, man.
Go Jags.
Go Jags. All right, y'all, let's get ready to take a break. We come back on the other side. We get ready to continue this thing. Try to get Jim Klein, Peter on Southern University. Football started last night. It's fall camp, so let's have some conversations about that. Y'all stay tuned. More to Jaguar Journal.
Darius Skelton has really had this wave of momentum for Southern.
Yeah, first-year player in this program. I love his decision-making. He makes quick decisions, particularly when running the run pass option game. That's his specialty. He's been an impact for this offense since he took over as starting quarterback.
Well, LaDarius Skelton is a dual threat quarterback. He can throw the football. He's very good at throwing the ball down the field. We're going to work on this spring, those intermediate passes, but down the field, he's one of the better down the field passes that I've seen.
Skelton going for it all, has a man, and hauling it in is Hunter Register.
And then when you talk about running ability, he has running back capabilities. He can go the distance. He has the speed to go the distance. He has the power, and he has the vision. And I think when you put that with a dual threat quarterback, I think he's the reason why we're so happy about this coming season.
Skelton feeling the pressure. Skelton eludes a couple of tacklers. He's still on his feet. Oh, wow. Oh, my. Little shake it big. Jump move, baby.
Being a quarterback is, man, not easy at all. It was hard being here and having the expectations to be the starter and not being the starter. It was overwhelming. Like, I was ready to play, and not playing when I was ready to play just made me kind of look at life differently and really think, should I be here or should I not? And I talked to God, and he just settled me down, and he told me to be patient. That's what I did.
Skelton, who started the last six games of 2018 for the Jaguars. They went 5-1. Their only loss to Alcorn State in the SWAC title game. Taking the jet sweep, and Skelton awfully good with his leg. Blitz. Catch. Register, the receiver at the bottom of your screen. Nice grab. Watch. All have had an impact here in the year lowing. Southern stuff. Skelton comes up for the third time. Taking the jet sweep, he'll keep it. A good lead block as he cuts it to the outside. The fake to Ben. Skelton will run. And dragging with him for a few yards. There he is. The time, stepping up into the end zone, has registered. Flag down, catch me, touchdown, and it's actually... First quarter yards, Southern 121, McNeese 40. Fresh set of downs as we begin the second quarter. And looking deep, Skelton for Register!
What's going on, everybody? I am Perry White. I'm the host of the Jaguar Journal. I want to make sure that you guys tune in live each and every Saturday morning from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on 107.3 FM. We also have our affiliates in Alexandria, Louisiana, as well as down in New Orleans. And if you're not able to catch us on radio live, you can subscribe to our YouTube channel as well as follow us on Facebook. It's the Jaguar Journal.
It's On the Yard Sports, and I'm Perry White, and what I need for you to do is go follow and subscribe to our YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, as well as Twitter right now.
For the first time in the 79-year history of the Southwestern Athletic Conference Elite Championship game determines the overall champion. Today, live from Legion Field in Birmingham, Alabama, it's the champions of the East, Jackson State, taking on Southern, the champs from the West. Hello, everybody. everybody, George Johnson, along with Charles Mann, and I got to tell you, a great quote once said, this is the way it's supposed to be, and it is. Number 11 Southern taking on number 15 Jackson State. Both programs have won three SWAC titles over the decade, so it's only fitting in the first SWAC championship game we determine the program of the decade. We've got a lot of offense out on the field, and yet this guy right here, he's going to tell you this game's all about D.
It's always all about D, George. You know that.
All-pro defensive end is going to tell you that. When you think about Jackson State, this is a team that is very potent offensively. But defensively, they've led the SWAC throughout most of the year. They've got the best player in defense in the SWAC, and that's Tommy Head.
Tommy Head. Get used to saying that name. You'll say it all day. He'll be all over the field. He's always around the football. He's the leading tackler on this team. He also has 5.5 sacks.
At one point this year, Southern led the nation in scoring defense, and then they ran into Florida A&M. They got a lot of guys out there that can get it done. But at the top of the list...
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. It is the Jaguar Journal. Good morning to you all. Everybody listening on 107.3 FM here in the capital city area of Baton Rouge. All our affiliates all around the state, Alexandria, everywhere else. We love you. Our YouTube, Facebook, subscribe, follow. Let's keep things rolling this morning. Want to thank all of our guests this morning. Guess what? We got another special guest, Jim Klein, Peter, other advocate. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Perry.
When we get to talking to you, we know what time it is. It is football season, and I think the Jaguar Nation is ready to know what's going on. Southern football reported Thursday. First practice was last night, 8 o'clock, A.W. Mumford Stadium. Fall camp is officially underway. Jim, for you, when you first had an opportunity to get out there and talk to Coach Terrence Graves, what did he say?
Well, he doesn't give you a lot of details. It's mostly, you know, general type of stuff. But they're probably a little more tense about the quarterback situation than they say they are, because they're making them off limits right now. We're not allowed to talk to quarterbacks for about a week. So I think they want to get them established, and they want to it's the most important position on the field, and so they've got to get him. I think they're going to end up with Noah Bodden as their quarterback. However, I will say that after watching the drills last night, Xavier Tisset took first snaps. That's you can't base anything on that, but that was interesting to me because Bodden took the first snaps in the spring, and maybe they're going to play them both. I don't know. So we will see. But based on what I can see, he wants them just to get a little better. And I think you've got a team with a lot better vibe than it had last year, at least, and maybe even the past 2 years. I think there's a little more organization, a little more purpose. I think this is I'm not predicting that they're going to win the West Division or the conference or anything. But I think they're in better standing this year.
Let me ask you this. SWAC Media Day, Southern picked fourth in the SWAC Western Division behind Prairie View, Alcorn, as well as Grambling. What's your thoughts on the reasoning behind that?
Well, Perry, the thing about preseason teams, it's just a look back at how the last season ended. If you'll notice, Alcorn State was picked first. They got a new coach. Okay, that's kind of weird, but the team that tied them for the division title, Prairie View, was picked second. So the two best teams from last year are 1-2. Now, of course, Prairie View represented the West in the championship game based on beating Alcorn head to head. So I think a lot of times you can't really take it too seriously. I don't know what's going on at Alcorn. They're going to have a new quarterback. They got some big changes there. I don't know how. I think it's like I said. People just look at what happened last year and they go with who was where how the teams finished last year. Prairie View has a new quarterback too. So they both teams are breaking a new quarterback. So I was going to. I don't put too much stock in that. Southern, this is perfect for Southern, though. I mean, you can bet that that Graves sent somebody home and planted it on the bulletin board before media day was over with. That Southern's predicted to finish fourth. He wants his team to be a little irritated by that and let that build up as we get into the season.
Jim, let's circle some areas around this football team, right? For you, critical areas that need improvement and names of guys that you think are going to become names that Southern fans become familiar with?
Well, you know, you always say quarterback, but the next most important position after quarterback to me is the offensive line. And these are Southern's two biggest question marks. So that's hard. I mean, if they manage to come through and get a good offense going this year, that's going to say a lot about Terrence Graves' coaching ability. They've got 20 offensive linemen in camp. Now, I only had 13 of them out there last night. They got a lot of new faces there. They've got a place. And we talked about quarterbacks, so I'll get back to them in a second. But the offense doesn't go anywhere unless you've got a high-functioning fivesome up front. And they've got one returning starter, so they're going to have whoever wins the jobs there, they're going to be at least four new faces up front. And that's going to be the biggest challenge. I think they got a lot of work to do there. Because the offensive line is a five-man group that has to function as one, as if they're all connected by a rope or something. So I think Josh Trask is a guy that's going to be big for them. He's going to be the leader of that group. He's probably going to be the center. Getting over to quarterback, Noah Bodden and Xavier Tisset, it looks like it might be a two-man race between them. So those are two names. You got Kendrick Rimes is back, and I think Southern is stacked at running back. They've got Kendrick Rimes, they've got Kobe Dillon and C.J. Russell. So they've got experience and depth there. And then at wide receiver, you got Chandler Whitfield and Tyler Kirkwood. You got some talent. So I think the offense is going to be good there. Then on defense, the name to look for is the guy to really make another big step up is Kelby Gibbons.
Oh, yeah. Preseason swag guy, defensive player of the year.
There you go. And, I mean, this guy's gotten nothing but better. He splashed onto the scene as a freshman, and he's added about 10 pounds. I think he's going to be even better against the run. And this is a guy, I can tell by talking to him how intense he is. And he really wants to be good. And then they got Davin Cotton back in the middle. They've added some guys around him. They got Derek Williams back at linebacker. They've added some help for him. And then the secondary, they got Rodney Johnson at corner. So I think they've got a good skeleton of a defense to build around. They've got experience at every stop in the line, the linebacker, and in the secondary. So I don't see Southern. I see Southern being in this race, man. I don't see them as a fourth place finishing team.
Let me ask you this. You know, you look at this team, it seems in this world of the ever-changing transfer portal, Southern survived the transfer portal out of the spring. Any guys didn't return back? Any names, any guys that you thought would have been back?
Well, they lost the cornerback. He was out of there quickly. I don't think they lost him. Actually, Kelby Givens went into the transfer portal for a real quick second there, and they jumped back out. I think they convinced him that everything's going to be okay with Graves as the coach. But no, I think Southern did okay. They didn't get hurt too bad. There were a couple other guys. They could have lost Derek Williams. You know, Alabama State, they not only got Andrew Boddy, but they got the number one tackler in the conference away from UAPB. You know that.
Yeah.
So
Rico.
So, yeah, Rico. So Southern, I have to say, they're okay. They did okay. They came out without losing guys. They could have lost it. They could have lost Jalen Woods or T-Set. I don't think T-Set would have gone because he's home. But they could have lost Kendrick Rimes. You know, somebody could have lured him away. And I think that's a credit to the reputation that Coach Graves has and how much of an impact he made as an assistant the last 2 years on that team that I think the players on the team believed in this hire. So they didn't really lose anybody that hurts them really badly.
This is the last thing I'm going to ask Jim as we go around. It was just day one yesterday. Day two is today and next week. We'll continue to keep this conversation as we inch closer and closer to that Magnet State kickoff. But now that this coaching staff is out there getting ready to go for the first game, what was your takeaway? You walk around, you see these coaches interacting, some Southern legends, some SWAC legends, hey, there's plenty of guys out there with familiar names on this coaching staff.
Yeah, I think that's huge. And DeGraves even talks about the value of having former assistant, former head coaches on your staff. Fred McNair isn't just going to coach the tight end. You know, he's going to be a voice. And I think, you know, they all know each other. So Terrence Gray's not intimidated by having a former head coach on the staff. And I got to believe that Fred McNair's a one-year deal. He's going to be on the staff. Somebody's going to hire him away next year. So and having that type of experience is a blessing for Terrence Gray. And he's a 31-year career assistant, and he doesn't have a big ego. You know, so I think that he's smart enough to realize the value of having these voices on this team and who can add something. You know, when they run into an issue, it's good to have that kind of input.
Well, Jim, I appreciate you for coming on this morning. Hey, there's only so much we can give the people out to day one. So day one, that's what we got for you, right? Next week, Jim, if you want, we can continue this thing each Saturday, just filling in people, just getting an idea of what's going on. But that's what we got for day one. Things started last night. What you think about the 8 p.m. Practice?
Well, that's interesting. I mean, it's not convenient, but it's probably a smart thing to do because I'm telling you, even at 8 o'clock last night, it was pretty hot, and I was thinking, man, I left about 5 minutes early. I could have stayed longer. I said, I've had enough, you know. You can imagine what it's like for those kids, and then when they put on the pads, it's going to be even worse. And then in 2 weeks, they're going to be going to a 3 o'clock practice.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that's smart. You got to do something. It's dangerous to try to practice earlier than that.
Yeah, we're getting heat advisories left and right here in South Louisiana. I actually just looked up. I saw there's one issue for today. So totally understandable. Jim, man, I appreciate you for coming on. As always, man, it is a pleasure. And we're going to continue to keep this thing going, Jim. Thank you.
All right, Prairie. See you next week.
All right. The voice of Jim Kleinpeter, the advocate. You guys read his articles. You pay attention to everything he does and what he writes about Southern. How long we have, Mike, before we get ready to get out of here? Okay, I got about a minute before we get out of here. Listen, man, I have enjoyed today's show. They have put it on my mind. Hey, I may need a political show, right? And I think I'll do it. I don't have no problem talking to anybody. I don't care if you're Republican, if you're Democrat, if you're I don't care if you're just you. That's all that matters. I think I might get into the political realm and, you know, have a show because I'm all about informing the people. I hope you guys were informed today as well. I hope you guys have enjoyed the show. I just wanted to be productive, interesting, and being able to communicate to the community. I don't want you to say you didn't know, that you didn't understand, that you don't, none of that. I want to make sure that you get that information. So the same way I bring sports to you, I'm going to bring it all around to you in terms of communicating. Who we got on the phone line real quick? All right, Chuck, I got about 30 seconds, 30, 45 seconds with you. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm gonna be quick on this one. Yeah, it's great that you had you had the political talks on today because you know people on your show is I want to keep politics out of sports, but hey, our everyday life is politics. That's the reason why you saw back in 1984 they had a video of legendary Grambling coach Eddie Robinson speaking to Congress in 1984 foreseeing what was going to happen in college athletics, and which we have today. And Nick Saban this year went to Congress to speak about NIL. Yeah, you know, this goes hand in hand. And the same ones that go and say that, oh, keep politics out of sports, they're the main ones. I don't want to call his name. That's why they go to this person's rallies and hear all the bigot. They love all the bigoted speeches. Let's keep that in mind. There's hypocrisy there when people say that. But what you had on those, your two guests, it was great to hear them. And it's great to have platforms such as yours, Allscripts and others. I enjoy, I commend Scotty for what he has done as well. You all speak on social issues as well, and I love that. You all take care.
All right, appreciate you, Chuck.
All right.
Thank you, Chuck, for calling in. Hey, man, I'm just a young dude trying to be involved in the world around me in which they say young people don't. Y'all see what I do here on the show. Shout out to my boy Scotty, too. And y'all see what it is, man. Y'all understand. Look, I talk sports, but don't get it twisted. I'm not just stuck on sports. I can talk anything with you. We all the way around. We real journalists over here, Mike. We able to do it all. It ain't just one track. We can do whatever you want us to do, and that's what we do here at the Jaguar Journal. We bring it to you, whether somebody's upset about it, whether they happy about it, whether it don't matter. We're not politically correct on this show. It's not going to always go one way or a certain type of way. It's not going to always make everybody happy. And if somebody got to raise their hand and say, whose job was that? Who did that? Perry White going to raise his hand every time because you know what? I'm willing to put my feet in the fire and stick my neck out on the line as long as this means that I'm able to put out information to the community. And I don't care if it's white, black, whatever the case may be. We all need to come together because it's Baton Rouge. This is a community. This is our community. Whether you like LSU, Southern, BRCC, I don't care who you like. But at the end of the day, we need to all be informed about what's going on around us. We need to have an understanding of the world around us. And it's okay to disagree with somebody. I can agree to disagree. We all don't have to be on the same page. But guess what? We can find common ground amongst this. And that's what I'm looking for, common ground. I don't pick and choose a side, and you will never know my side. But what I will do is provide an opportunity and a platform for people to then come on and then give you an opportunity to decide which side you want to choose. You don't know where I'm going with it, and I don't care. And if people upset, and I tell people all the time, and I ended with this, nothing is personal with me. You can sit down and have a hell of a conversation with Perry White. I'm never going to bring anything personal to the radio or to any of the platforms that I do because I'm not looking for attention and I'm not looking for fame. I'm just looking to inform. It's always business. So whether I criticize a coach, a politician, or whoever the case may be, never take it personal. You are being evaluated by your job because your job is in the public light. That's both politicians, coaches, administrators at Southern University, and whoever else. Your job is to be evaluated by those who are a part of whatever that it is that you're doing, and your job is public. If you cannot handle that criticism, then you may want to think about stepping away and go to a job where you have a boss who evaluates you and not the public. But as long as the public have the ability to be able to evaluate what it is that you do, and I do this radio show, we're going to evaluate, and I'm going to have an opinion in terms of how I feel and open up the phone lines in terms of how other people feel in terms of what you're doing. And that's just is what it is. It's strictly business, nothing personal. Don't never take it personal. Strictly business. I evaluate you off your job performance, not what you do outside of the job. That is your life. That's your livelihood. You continue to do that. Has nothing to do with me and the public. So I hope you guys enjoyed it. Go subscribe to our YouTube channel, The Jaguar Journal. Go follow us on our Facebook page, The Jaguar Journal. Always, I'm Perry White, man. I hope you guys have enjoyed the show. Go back and listen to it if you missed any parts of it. And it's right there for both of you guys on both sites for all you guys. All right? Hey, well, I'll be back next week at the same time in the same place because always, it's The Jaguar Journal. We'll be right back. What's going on, everybody? I am Perry White. I'm the host of the Jaguar Journal. I want to make sure that you guys tune in live each and every Saturday morning from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on 107.3 FM. We also have our affiliates in Alexandria, Louisiana, as well as down in New Orleans. And if you're not able to catch us on radio live, you can subscribe to our YouTube channel as well as follow us on Facebook. It's the Jaguar Journal.
K-A-Y-T, Alexandria, 88.1.
We're back for the new millennium. It's the VOU All-Stars. We about to set it off up in here. Got the whole crew. We're gonna do it just like this, y'all. Cause we got the victory. Woo!
Victory is mine.
In victory, yeah, yeah. I just wanna sing and shout. I don't have no doubt that it was you, Jesus. Oh, you're the one that brought me through, yeah.
We're more than conquerors through him that loved us. All the victorious folks, make some noise.
Gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood.